Whoever you are, we welcome you. Wherever you come from, we welcome you. Whomever you love, we welcome you. My name is Allison Norris. This morning's worship is our Coming of Age Sunday.
The symbol of energy, of life, of light, to remind us of the energy within us, of the light of our lives, of the light that is in us, of the light that is us.
Today I look back and see the child of me off in the distance, no longer my life, but a memory. My parents can look ahead and imagine the crossroads I will soon stand at as I wave goodbye and go off to college or travel overseas or to pursue my dreams. One version of me flows into another. No ghost-like figure follows and observes me. But every once in a while, I can step back and look at my life like an outsider might. Right now, I would see myself moving off the path of my childhood and onto the path leading to the adult me. Come, let us worship together.
Today, I can look back and see the child me off in the distance, no longer my life, but a memory. My parents can look ahead and imagine the crossroads I will soon stand at as I wave goodbye and go off to college or to travel overseas or to pursue my dreams. One version of me flows into another. No ghost-like figure follows and observes me, but every once in a while, I can step back and look at my life like an outsider might. Right now, I would see myself moving off the path of my childhood and onto the path leading to the adult me.
Whenever I find myself in front of our church, needing somehow to speak to them, I always hope I have something to say, something worthwhile, something which will be meaningful to our congregation. I'm always nervous, yet I think I have it relatively easy. The young people who are responsible for today's service are much braver than I was at their age. I am young enough to remember that as a teenager, I felt everything so much more intensely than I do now. When I first fell in love, I felt that love so completely. And when I first felt despair at the world's hypocrisy, I felt that completely, and it was overwhelming. I keep these memories in mind when I think about how these young people have agreed to spend a year in study and reflection, wrestling with difficult issues about the nature of our world and their place in it. The Coming of Age program met monthly with 13 youth, their mentors, and the facilitators. The youth discussed the existence of God, what happens when we die, and the nature of evil. They discussed social responsibility, practiced meditation. They made art and sang songs together. The youth worked to put their values into action in a service project planning and serving a free lunch at Trinity Lutheran Church. They journeyed into the woods alone as part of our wilderness retreat and emerged with the recognition that they are no longer children. And after all that, they are willing to stand before our church and share what they have discovered. How incredibly personal. How incredibly personal and intimate, even, to listen to the deeply considered beliefs of another person. I have been privileged as a coming-of-age facilitator this past year to witness the growth of our church's youth and to listen to them share their thoughts. What we hear today are snapshots of a particular time in the lives of our church's youth, a time when they see the world with new eyes and are free to envision it differently. While we listen to what they say, let us also recognize the great faith that they have in our community. By sharing so openly, they have faith in our acceptance of diverse beliefs. They have faith in how we value the contributions of all people, regardless of age or background. They have faith that our love for them is real. A profound strength of Unitarian Universalism is the broad expanse of our collective wisdom. Let us learn from both the insights of our youth and from their willingness to share their beliefs with our community.
Most people who know me in this church realize that when you ask me to do something, I typically say yes. 4 years ago, I was invited by Karen Lapidus, our Director of Religious Education, to participate in the Coming of Age Council of Elders in the spring. I had just turned 50. I said thank you and yes. 2 years ago, I was again invited by Karen, but this time to be a coming of age mentor. I said thank you and yes. Last spring, she invited me to become a facilitator. Are we seeing a pattern here? After some thought and introspection, I said yes again. But this yes took a little bit longer because it was a more significant commitment of time. I was concerned that I might be a little bit too old for the youth to relate to, and I really wasn't quite sure I was the right person for the job. But again, I said thank you and yes. Yes to engaging in a program that is so very different from the Catholic confirmation I was forced to endure many years ago. In fact, 40 years ago this spring, I was 14, and I had no say in my own coming of age in my parents' church. There was no exploration, no questioning, no self-reflection, no discovery, no mentors, no community service, no retreats. There were only the right answers by the clergy of what I was to think and what I was to believe. That is why I said yes each time Karen asked me to participate. Here, we value what our youth are thinking, what they are saying, what they are feeling. We encourage spiritual growth wherever that path may lead. We know as Unitarian Universalists that each path is one's own. It is rarely straight, not always smooth, but it is guided and supported by those who have come before and by those who are here now. This year, I am grateful that I said yes. Grateful to have gotten to know 13 unique teens. Grateful that these 13 individuals allowed me the privilege of hearing their thoughts and beliefs, the privilege of being in beloved community together. To you, I say, blessed be. I am also grateful to have been 1/4 of a team that grew together in friendship and in love as the months progressed, who discussed deeply, who came to consensus, who sometimes disagreed, but always in love, and who laughed together as we planned, and who worked together in harmony and in joy. To Jeff, Andrew, and Laura, namaste, my friends. I am so glad I said yes.
Serving as a mentor for the young people of our church is always enriching and stirs up a little bit of what I call my UU guilt, because I end up learning more than the scant wisdom I provide. Coming of age is an enlightened process, and I'm encouraged by the collective power of the next generation to uphold the mission and faith statements of our church. The focus on this program's mentorship is on exploring core values together, not on imparting adult wisdom. And to that end, my own faith statement continues to evolve. I appreciate that as a mentor, I was not asked to fly solo, but was able to be in right relationship with an intergenerational community. So, in full disclosure, I came of age as well. Through structured activities which encouraged discussion of theological and humanistic topics, raised as we experienced a sacred space spiritual practice together. Helping youth reflect about and create their faith statements and witnessing them share these credos today in this joyful ceremony is the reward of my mentorship. As I shared with Mason, whose own faith statement has been intelligently and lovingly crafted and articulated, what you are asked to do today, to confirm what essentially gives you the strength to continue when life is hard, is incredibly daunting and empowering. I am very proud of him and proud to be a part of all the youth and a religious community which provides a structured and open process to allow young people to develop as enlightened members of our society. I am honored to get to know Mason and all the other youth better, and I look forward to continuing these relationships as we all go along our singular and collective journeys in this community.
Before this past year, I didn't know a lot about the Coming of Age program. I knew that the youth were all of the same peer group, that they had mentors, and that the program helped them to discern whom they are and what they believe. But I did not know the details of how this discernment occurred. So when Karen first contacted me about being a mentor for the Coming of Age program, I was surprised. Surprised not because I thought I wouldn't be right for the task, but surprised because a youth in our church thought enough of me to pick me as a mentor. It just never occurred to me that I would be on the top of someone's list. I felt deeply honored and humbled to be chosen by Sydney for the job of being her mentor. Even though the program is designed to help the youth come of age, I know for sure that I learned a lot about myself during our work over the past year. Sydney and I had some great conversations about life, death, compassion, right relationship, the nature of the divine, and so much more. In group work, everyone, mentors, youth, facilitators, had much to contribute, sometimes profound, sometimes funny, all the time meaningful. I'm so proud of our youth for the work that they did in this program. Every one of them was fully committed to the task and contributed to the whole. I feel blessed and grateful to have had the opportunity to get to know these young people better. Mentoring has been a gift to me, and I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Receive, O mystery, the words of our hearts. If prayer worked like magic, I knew the words would guarantee prayer's power. I know what I would pray. Let life be always kind to our children. Let sorrow not touch them. Let them be free from fear. Let them never suffer injustice, nor the persecutions of the righteous. Let them not know the pain of failure, of a project, a love, a hope, of a dream. Let life to them be gentle and joyful and kind. If I knew the formula, that's what I'd pray. My prayer isn't magic, and life will be hard, so I pray for our children with some hope for this prayer. May their knowledge of sorrow be tempered with joy. May their fear be well balanced with the courage of strength. May the sight of injustice spur them into actions. May their failures be teachers, that their spirits may grow. May they be gentle and joyful and kind. Then their lives will be magic and life will be good. So may it be. Amen.
Receive, O mystery, the words of our hearts. If prayer worked like magic, if I knew the words that would guarantee prayer's power, I know what I would pray. Let life always be kind to our children. Let our sorrow not touch them. Let them be free from fear. Let them never suffer injustice, nor the persecutions of the righteous. Let them not know the pain of failure, of a project, of love, a hope, or dream. Let life be to them gentle and joyful and kind. If I knew the formula, that's what I'd pray. But prayer isn't magic, and life will be hard. So I pray for our children with some hope for this prayer. May their knowledge of sorrow be tempered with joy. May their fear be well balanced by courage and strength. May the sight of injustice spur them to just action. May their failures be teachers, and that their spirits may grow. May they be gentle and joyful and kind. Then their lives will be magic, and all will be good. So may it be. Amen.
I don't know if I can top that, but I'll try. All right, so when I first sat down to write my faith statement, I recalled a few inspirational quotes, Googled the seven principles, maybe drew some flowers, and then I said to myself, this is something you're going to have to write really late at night after having caffeine, because then you'll think of everything, get really deep, and uncover all the mysteries of life. And, obviously, being the honors student that I am, I finished this at 11:42 p.m. the night before it was due. I know how this stuff works. But I guess this faith statement made me kind of nervous. I mean, I'm 16. What do I know about life? How should I be able to answer these questions? We talked about a lot of things in coming of age, like God and why bad things happen to good people. I have no idea if there's a God. That might be something that makes me a UU, because that's acceptable here. For me, I'm okay with not knowing, and it doesn't keep me up at night. But some people need God. Everyone has their own form of explanation. For some people, it's drinking. For some, it's raising a family. For some, it's working hard. And for some, it's religion. I guess for me, it's chocolate, soy milk, and Saturday Night Live. It doesn't have to make sense. It's just what people need so they don't have to think about the scary stuff all the time. And I don't know if there's an answer for why bad things happen to good people. I know so many people who have been hurt, and I always wish I could answer when they ask, why me? I think the world would be a lot easier if we understood that. And here's the thing. You're allowed to be angry, but the world's not working against you. As an anonymous poet said, the flowers do not bloom for you, and when your mother shouts, ask her if she's okay instead of thinking she hates you. The world walks beside you and is silent. It does not trip you up or carry you. I think people forget how lonely it can be to be a child and how confusing it is to be a teenager. Middle school was the worst. But even if I could erase it, I don't think I would, because it made me who I am. And that person is someone who likes to write and who spent last weekend dressed as an old lady in front of a paying crowd. It's worked out so far, and I wouldn't want to mess with that. I don't go around saying everything happens for a reason, though, because it's a nice idea, but fate is no excuse for people treating you like crap. High school will teach you how to get 3 hours of sleep and take 4 tests the next day. High school will teach you how to cry and to question your worth over a percentage. High school will teach you how to cheat. But high school also teaches you how to find people you love and how to survive. High school will teach you how to fail. It will also teach you how to see what matters, and you'll realize that it's not about a grade. Because 5 years from now, you won't remember your SAT score or the boy who broke your heart. What you'll have learned is that you have a lot to offer the world, and that you'll be okay. The Queen Gilda Radner once said, "While we have the gift of life, it seems to me the only tragedy is to allow part of us to die, whether it is our spirit, our creativity, or our glorious uniqueness." So here's a small fraction of some things I've learned this year. If you love something, buy 15 of it and dedicate your life to it. Don't lock away the parts of yourself that you don't like to see in pictures. Your demons are here to teach you a lesson, and they never give up. And I know that's scary, but it also means they're fighting a losing battle. If you want to change the world, do something about it. We're all people, and we're all pretty lost, so be nice. Coming of age is not something that happens once. It's definitely not something that happens in a year or 10. Coming of age happens every day. My faith statement would have been different yesterday. It's different when I'm upset, and it'll definitely be different in 3 months from now. I think sometimes it's on caps lock. I didn't find the thunder within myself after spending 3 hours alone in the wilderness where it's quiet any more than I found it at an improv show in Chicago where it was loud and rainy. For me, there's no age and no perfect time to come of it, but there's talent and art and music and failed tests and stand-up comedy and mean parents at Walmart and trees and 3 a.m. Taco Bell. And the truth is, we all feel lost, and some of us are older, but that does not make us wiser. We're all infinite, and the thunder within us cannot be found through loneliness or meditation, because it's always been there, and that's the real meaning of mindfulness. No yoga pose or sad song is going to make life any more meaningful, because it always has been. You're allowed to be a child at 33 or 4 or 17, but you're never allowed to give up or wait for someone to save you. And one of the inspirational quotes that I looked up. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the judgment that something is more important than fear. The brave may not live forever, but the cautious do not live at all. From now on, you'll be traveling the road between who you think you are and who you can be. The key is to allow yourself to make the journey.
I have always had a difficulty with faith, understanding what it is, what it does, and what role it has in my life. I tend to be a very rational person, so it's hard for me to understand something like faith, which does not make much sense when thought about from a rational perspective. In order for me to develop my faith, I had to first define it and understand it. This statement is a summary of what I came up with. My simplest definition of faith would be trust without certainty. I believe faith is akin to trust in the way that both are things that give us integrity from which we derive our creativity and motivation. Faith and trust give us the security and purpose to live as we do, though by very different means. Our perception of all things happens inside our minds, our perception of the physical world and of rational thoughts, but also of less finite things, such as ideas and emotions. We normally put trust in rational things. We have trust in things that are logical, things that are supported by evidence. The certainty of these things gives you the integrity and conviction. It is clear to me, however, that people can find these qualities in less rational things. People find these qualities in ideas that are statistically improbable or impossible. They find hope in things that are far beyond their understanding. Faith allows you to trust while not having to remove doubt. Another thing faith does is creates meaning. When you look at life or the universe from a completely rational perspective, you find that it has no intrinsic meaning or purpose. Things simply happen as they do, and life merely propagates itself. Faith allows us to give meaning to things. This is something unique about being a conscious being. I've mentioned that faith has been a difficult topic for me. For this reason, it has taken a very long time for me to discover what role faith has in my own life. This being said, it is profoundly more important than I previously thought. As I have said before, I'm a very rational person. I tend to think rationally about things that most people would not. I know now that this creates an imbalance. It is thought by some that the reason humans have faith is that faith is necessary to live as a social being. The human, or more specifically the human mind, is a complex and diverse thing that is difficult to understand and predict. Faith may be necessary for humans to trust each other enough to live in a community. I have found this to be true. This leads me to believe that faith is essential in any social interaction or human connection, and therefore it is extremely important in order to live a balanced life. Yet I've also found that I must maintain a balance between my reliance on faith and my reliance on rationalism. Some people rely too heavily on faith, whereas I tend to rely too heavily on logic. Oftentimes, I see the effect of this in my social life. Under social pressure, I find it difficult to act like myself. I often consciously avoid people and effectively shut down my personality. The only thing that seems to help this is being around people whom I know well and trust. My family and friends are to me the most prominent examples of these people. They allow me to open up and enjoy life. They inspire me and make me feel like my life is going somewhere. This happens, I think, because of the connection between us. I have faith that I have affected their lives just as they have changed mine. I've thought for a long time about faith and what it means to me, and in doing this, I have shed light upon a hitherto unknown aspect of my life. I may now look at the world from a new angle and see things different ways.
Well, I didn't exactly make mine to be read out loud, so there's a lot of I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. I am a Unitarian Universalist and hold the seven principles as law in my everyday life. Therefore, well, more changey, wishy-washy laws, but I get the idea. Specifically, the first and last principle of, in my everyday life. I didn't put those in there. That was not a good idea. I hold the scientific method beneath the seven principles, but above all other beliefs. The scientific method can explain in detail almost anything, as long as there are facts to back it up. Therefore, I cannot approve or deny that there is a God. So I can't know, making me an agnostic. I believe humanity has the ability to make decisions both good and bad, and I believe that the human nature has shaped the world as we know it, and that it will decide whether or not our race survives. I believe that all people should be able to express their sexuality in a consensual manner, and all people are equal, no exceptions. I believe that spiritual meditation is healthy and should be practiced often. And it can be practiced at church or by some hobby or anything that anybody decides. At this current time, I practice spirituality by singing, drawing, eating, and pretty much everything else that I enjoy doing. And I believe that when somebody dies, it induces a series of chemical reactions that causes decomposition of the human body, and that billions of organisms benefit from the death of every person. And that brings me comfort, knowing that other things will benefit from me when I've passed on. I believe that I have the right to vote for what I believe and to be right in my mind, and that in accordance to the previously stated beliefs that I, until I believe otherwise. I promise to the community that I will research each of my decisions thoroughly to make sure that I do not make the wrong decision.
And I do have some very non-serious beliefs, but, you know, hey. I partly believe in the zombie apocalypse, and mostly just being ready for any kind of disaster. Yes, it's in my faith statement. And I adopted some of my beliefs from my wonderful mentor, Randy Leeson, that the dead can be classified into three categories. There's the recently dead who live on through the thoughts and recalls of stories through the living people who remember them. And then there's the long dead, so there's actually two, actually. And there's the long dead who are remembered through history and through the things that imprinted forever upon this earth. And so that these two groups of people are how people live on after they die. In short, if I had to use a label for my religious beliefs, I would be an agnostic, that I do not know if there is a God or if there isn't a God, and can't know. And I believe in the ability to make decisions for yourself, and finally, the ability to make a life happy with a hug. Slight humanist with some doubts in humanity, and my beliefs could be summarized by a quote from Gandalf. Saruman believes it is only great power that can hold the evil in check, but that is not what I have found. I have found that it is the small, everyday deeds of ordinary folk that keep the darkness at bay, small acts of kindness and love.
My name is Salvatore Smith, and I strongly believe in this statement. I have tried to write about this without influence from any other beliefs, which is surprisingly hard because most people wear their beliefs up on billboards and neon signs. I believe that is extremely important, too, when writing a faith statement or any other task, to be truthful, especially to yourself. If I can believe myself and have more fun in life, my life will be more enjoyable and will lead me to becoming a better person. I believe that my body is a gift. I will not poison it, for I only have one, and it would be disrespectful and a waste. I always have upheld the golden rule in my heart, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. For other people are just like us and deserve to be preserved just as much as we do. In my utopic world where everyone is equal, which seems too much to ask, but imagine if everyone were equal, not only in wealth, but in opportunity. Everyone would be kinder. Everyone would be respected by fellow kin. But this travels beyond my faith statement into what I believe into others. For now, I try to take from society what I need, though it doesn't always work out. I guess it's just human nature. Possibly my biggest belief is my belief in, not in the common view, not winning life. It is every day I see so many people inside their perfect houses with perfect jobs and families. They won. Don't take it the wrong way, but being a naturally bored person, I would be bored after I win life. I started noticing this over the years, so I created a list that ensures that I will never win. It is over 100 pages, from flying helicopters to driving around the world. And I'm constantly trying to update it, for I cannot win life until I complete this list. Now, most people's definition of faith is what God you believe in. Well, I don't know. And to explain, most of my life I was an atheist. But then I started realizing a pattern that most adults come to believe in some higher power. So what I would say is I do not know if I believe in a God, but I trust my later in life self will know for sure what God is or what happens to me after death. The world's a toolbox in which we, the human race, are to enjoy. Let's put two and two together and be creative. The more we take interest in the world, the more we will have fun and not lose hope. And in the end, that's really what it boils down into, it, right? Looking back in your life and saying, you know, I had a damn good time.
I'm not sure if there's a God. I hadn't not really thought about it. If I do, I don't believe in a God until we started talking about it in coming of age classes, and I joined Bible Club this year at school.
Right now, I'm still trying. I don't believe in heaven and hell. While you are alive and on earth, you should be a nice person and help others because you only have one chance to live in this world. I believe that all people in our world should have the same equal rights, like women getting equal pay for the same jobs as men, our races being treated fairly by the police, people with disabilities being able to get the support they need, and gays and lesbians being able to marry like everyone else. People like my cousins who are gay shouldn't be looked at like something is wrong with them because they are gay. I believe that all human beings should be treated with respect. I also believe that everyone should have the right to have food, housing, and education and health care. I'm an athlete and play a lot of sports for my school, like basketball and volleyball. What makes this a community and team is that we work together during the games, talk to each other on the bus, and support each other at school. Just like I believe our church community is a team, we help and support one another at church, and it's part of my faith to help others in our community, such as when we went to feed the homeless. When I struggle with something like homework or a problem, I either go to my friends or my family. I'm so glad to have my parents, brothers, and friends to get help because some kids don't have the support and struggle their whole lives since they have no one to go to. I also know that I can rely on Jen, my mentor, and the UU church community for help when I need it. This is what church should be, a place where everyone feels welcome and supported. Thank you, Jen, and the Coming of Age group for helping me to write this faith statement and understanding more about the Unitarian Universalist faith.
I'm a short and small fraction of the entire span of the universe, a tiny part of something huge and beautiful. My actions and inactions either affect nothing or change everything, and I think I'm comfortable with both extremes. In the organized chaos of creation, there doesn't have to be a fixed agenda for anyone to follow, and everyone on this planet is just trying to make sense of who they are in their own existences, myself included. As many others, I don't have a clear or definite answer to either of these. Though it's not quite as terrifying as it once was to not know why I'm here or who I am, life is lived to give you an exploration of these questions, even if at the end of it you still have no explanation. I've always felt a disconnect between myself and how I'm perceived by others and myself. There really is no part of myself I find completely solid, but I've found the point of living is to constantly change and evolve yourself. I don't have to be the same person I was a year, month, week, day, or even an hour ago. I actually get bored if I don't change something about myself every few months. My thoughts and opinions don't have to remain constant, and I do not have to be the same person that people want or think that I am. Still, I try to improve the things I dislike about myself as much as I can, such as striving to be more present by not worrying about the past and future and making ease with myself. A good or moral life is lived if you accomplish the purpose you've set for yourself. For me, I find faith in words, stories, art, music, ideas. I want to inspire people and create my own memory on this world while improving it. There's always been a need inside me to help others, but I also want to meet my own demands simultaneously. The world and its people should be cared for, and everything, no matter how small, is worth something. The diversity of the universe is what composes something beautiful, and every chapter of it is needed to be whole. Everything should be appreciated, and nothing is a waste of space nor time. Art and words and poetry is just what adds to its entirety, but it's what makes us all human. It shows us what it's like to feel, and all in all, isn't that our reason to be here? To feel everything and love and feel emotion so fully, even if we don't understand a single part of it. In all the misunderstanding and distress, humanity is still a beautiful thing. Everything might not be clear to me now, and anything I think can shift or warp with time, unfolding into a clearer solution. Now is the time to grow and explore, setting up a framework of the person I hope to one day be and the goals I will achieve. I have a right to be here.
Faith is a matter of trust. But it's not what I have trust in, it's what I must have trust in. I have faith that the world will allow me to make my own decisions and take my own steps to improve myself. Now, that's not to say that I necessarily have faith in everyone in the world, but my very life, which only came about by a very small chance, my parents only wanted two children, and the only reason that I was ever born was because the child before me was a miscarriage. That's a very, very small chance. It's an immense gift. So what do I do with this gift? Life isn't everything. You can always be a better person. You could be more fit. You could be more intelligent. You could be more empowered. People say you have to play the hand that you're dealt in life, that you can't change much in your life. But what's stopping you from becoming more fit, becoming smarter, becoming more empowered? It's all about trust. Being able to trust yourself and trust that you can find and correct your faults and struggles. And this goes to a need for this trust, because it's the only method that allows me to improve. Now, just because you need to trust in your ability to improve doesn't mean that you're flying solo. I have a mutual trust with my family. I talk to them about my struggles and faults, something you need trust for. Your introspection needs to be the trigger. In seventh grade, I couldn't run a mile. Your family can offer support, which you have full faith in. My brother got me into running. You need to continue your improvement and have full persistence. I now run cross country. It's the trust that I have in myself to realize what needs to be done, and the trust in my family that makes me a better person. And that is everything to me. And just as my family is my helper in my struggles, I need to know kindness to be the helper in other people's problems. Not everyone knows that they can completely change their life for the better, but with fraternity, we can achieve it all. These are the core decisions I have made in my life. They define me. They change my life and the lives of others. And the world has given them to me, a 17% chance. But I made it. So I pay my trust back. We can't begin to understand the world, so who are we to question it? Help doesn't end with my family, because I need to improve physically and mentally, but I need to trust the people in this church can guide me spiritually. Everyone here listens and affirms my beliefs, helps me question and grow in a spiritual manner. Because I am spiritual, not to be confused with being religious. I take matters into my own hands and work towards them. I don't need a God, but I am spiritual. I know the interpersonal connections I have to make, and I trust myself to do so. Hearing from everyone here, I fully realize what I can develop in knowledge. And so, I learned tolerance. That's not to be confused with acceptance. It's very important to hear everyone's ideas. I don't have to accept them as my ideas, too. But if we listen, it'll all make the world a better place. Spirituality and self-improvement are my core most values, and I trust them to guide me. Without them, I'm lost. This trust is my gift from the world, and in unlikely circumstances, as is often the case, I received two more gifts. While sitting in a field, just thinking, they came to me. Spiritual, not physical, gifts. This field around me was brimming with white clover flowers, every direction as far as I could see. But then, 2 inches in front of me, the most brilliant pink and purple clover. That clover is very important to me. Amongst hundreds, thousands of flowers, one stood alone. That flower had complete trust that its pink and purple message was correct, that it spoke out. So when I'm the odd one out, I need to have trust, like the flower, that what I'm doing is right. Sometimes the unpopular belief is right. When people told me that I couldn't do something, I said no, and I changed. I owe where I am today to messages like that flower's. Immediately after that, I received my second gift. As I was holding one of the blooms, a bumblebee perched upon the flower. A few seconds, then gone. Flower to flower, never tiring, not scared of me. The bee was happy and content with its work, and this is possibly the most important lesson of all. You have to have trust and love for what you're doing. It's a struggle to go flower to flower, to make flashcards to study, to run another mile, but you have to appreciate why you're doing it. You have to look forward to the brighter tomorrow. And that's how you put in your work. That's how you improve. Two natural things in my life. Beautiful, simple, and everything I have faith in.
As a young growing man, I have many aspirations for what I want to do in my life. I won't be able to achieve these aspirations without having specific lists of goals and life rules to follow. So I kind of base my faith statement off stuff I believe in now. So I believe that as I grow, I will become a better and more knowledgeable person. I believe that as a person, I have no ceiling to stop me from reaching my highest level. I believe that as a person, we should all treat each other the way we want to be treated. No person should be treated badly or be made to feel sad. I believe that as a person who wants to achieve goals, that there is no goal we can't achieve, and that I should push myself for the greatest goal. I believe that if we believe, we can achieve. I believe that every person has the right to be happy, because there is nothing in life that shouldn't make us happy. I believe that hard work will make the dream work. I believe that everything happens for a reason, because even if we are faced with hard times or challenges in life, the way that our life is after is how the world wants us to live. I believe that every person should be respectful, because it'll help us to grow and become a better person. I believe that every little mistake or big mistake in our lives helps us to grow to become a better overall person. I believe that every person should have the feeling or comfort in any type of way, either in a family, a team, a group, a community, or a friendship. I believe that grades don't show an individual's intelligence. I believe that we are our own enemy. The only person that can stop us is ourselves. I believe that only the strong can survive in our world or challenges in our lives. I believe that every person should be viewed equally. And as I grow, these will probably change because I'll become older and I'll think of things in different ways. Thank you.
This, my heart, I have offered to the moon, battered, broken, torn in places, but still beating to the rhythm of my own song. This, the blood in my veins and the strings tangled around that core of brightness, each thread a bond and each bond an interminable link and each link an undying love. This, the light in my eyes and the shine showing the paths ahead, the smile on my face as I stride ahead, nothing guiding me but my will. This, my mind so full of possibility and so tangled and convoluted, each synapse a story, the web a cityscape woven with the spark of an idea and a self. This, the breath in my lungs, a steady cyclical direction of ins and outs, the words flowing outwards a song of freedom and wonder, spoken or not. This, my doom, both a comfort and weakness, and the knowledge that all things end in time, and the fact that that is not a bad thing. But even that end is never an end. The note desolation plays, ringing into eternity with the energy of everythingness, never created or destroyed, eternally forming anew. This, the void that all would think is empty, but in reality, whether deep as the abyss, vast as the cosmos, small as the space between electrons, is but uncharted territory. This, the time I have filled with song, a melody bound in clockwork, beating on and on with the forward progression of the universe, glancing back, but never quite stopping. This, the space I have filled with art, creation in the hands of one not meant to last. The stories I found and the lives I lived through them, drawn in graphite and ink and stardust. This, the life I live, a garden made of crystal still growing and blooming and soaring to the sky. A tangled net of atoms and cells and organs, pieces, parts fitting together so wonderfully into an existence. This, the rage held so dear, all flickering purple fire and burning compassion. The drive to change the world and to make things right, burning low in places, but never quite lost. This, the hope kept so close, all shining gossamer wings and feathers lifted by thermals. The belief in all that should be kept sacred and beautiful, the brightness looking forward to a brand new day. This, the essence of all I know, wound into a glowing green spirograph, a circle of 12 held so close and so dear, beating and blowing and pulsing and flowing, a fundament made a story and a song, an orchestra and a lyric of wonder infinite. I sing it and speak it, one who is called herself champion of souls, loyal and kind and diligent above all else, a heart once forged in ice, thawed to an ocean. Free and sprawling, endless and home to so many, this I know. This is myself. This is not the world. This is not all there is to life. Life cannot be bound in cadence and word, not all of it, not ever. It remains eternal and glimmering crystal and simultaneously does not, transient vibrations of hope and love. These I set forth to the world as what I believe. We live many lives, whether future or past, or here or far away, or as what man deigns to call Homo sapien or not. The soul does not die, can only change form. Even so, bits of us ever slip away to the universe as what we are, as we are now, die, scattered to both the cosmos and those we cared for the most. Every belief is something precious and should be respected and treated as such. Though our experience as ourselves on this plane is limited, we must strive to make it a good experience for all that live through it. Peace is something beautiful and fragile and should be treasured. Life is an infinite mystery, and there is no shame in being curious. We are inherently good and kind at our fundament. Even in the darkest hour, there is still light somewhere. We must not allow the good things about life to pass us by, nor the bad things unnoticed and unchanged. Hatred is passed down, created out of selfishness on some ends and retribution on others. If we are consumed by it, we are lost. Creation is the essence of love, and the universe is kind. Music, art, and stories are sacred things in this world as they come from the heart. Compassion is the heart of true connection.
People are always asking me what I believe in, and until recently, I wasn't really sure. One of the most asked questions I got was, why do you think bad things happen in the world? I think that bad things happen so that we can learn from what happens and become stronger people. Also, so we can learn from other mistakes and so that the same things don't happen over and over again. There is one person in specific that's always helped me learn from my mistakes. I would have to say my biggest helper or hero is my mom. She's always there for me when I need her most, and she helps me learn from my mistakes a lot, which is nice because then the next time I'm in that situation, I know exactly what to do. She's been a big part of my spiritual journey as well, and she's helped me find myself throughout the years. She's taught me things I would never know about myself and about my past. I would never have known these things without her. One of the main things that this church teaches me is to believe in who I want or what I want to believe in. On my journey of faith, I have found that I am agnostic. I don't believe in one God, but I do believe that there is a greater being, but I'm not sure that it is God. I also believe that there is a God, that if there is a God, he or she is in everything and in everything and everywhere.
I did not grow up going to a UU church. I went to a Christian church because that is what my mom believes in, and that's who I live with. My mom's side of the family all have different beliefs. They all believe very highly in God. My grandma and grandpa are both Catholic. My mom grew up Catholic. My aunt and uncle are both Orthodox. I started attending a UU church when Colleen married Sandy. I came to this church regularly. It is a place where I feel welcome. I have a lot of friends here who I have grown up with. We all love each other like family. When you walk into the doors of any Unitarian Universalist church, do you always feel welcome? No matter if you're in a different congregation, you always feel like you are home. You're always greeted with a warm smile or a hug. Since I teach spirit play during first service and during second service, I attend RE class. I don't get to go to many services, but when I do, it's always a joy to go and watch and listen to service. The highlight of service is when we stand up and sing the most beautiful and powerful songs together. I also like when we have a moment of silence because it makes the mood of the people very calm. I really like the joys and concerns. It's important that we all talk about what's on our minds, good or bad. When we talk about that, we all come together as a family to celebrate the joys and send healing thoughts about the concerns. Going to service makes me very relaxed and calm. It makes the troubles of the previous week go away, and it makes the new week a little easier. I think my beliefs have changed very much. When I was little, I used to think that God was the only option to believe in. When I came here and I was open to all new exciting things I never knew existed, it opened me up to become a UU. I believe that everyone should be treated equal, no matter what race, gender, or religion. Each person is important. That is something that everyone needs to learn. Everyone should be able to have their own voice. We should always be kind in all we do. I think it's really important that we search for what is true to us. A lot of other churches don't have people from the congregation that believe in different things. They mostly all believe in one thing, but people from our church all believe in different things. We are very open to learning about new religions because we are free to learn together, and I think that it's interesting that we can learn about different religions from all over the world and not get judged and come back to our religion. As a Unitarian Universalist, you can believe in whatever you want, and no one will treat you differently.
So, the way I see it, the body is made up the way that the ancient Egyptians said it was. There's the Ren, the name, the Ba, the personality, the Ka, the vital spark, the Shit, the shadow, and the Ib, the heart. The important ones are the Ba, and Ren, name or personality. Your name is composed of your life's experiences, and your personality is what makes you who you are. I feel that my spirituality is greatly influenced by the both. When you get a cut, sure it hurts, but it heals in time. When you get a new idea, it changes the way you think. When I was young and in my foster family, I didn't start growing my spirituality because I was forced into one. They were an evangelistic Christian family, and I didn't agree with that at all, so I felt uncomfortable. So for a while, I've known I don't believe in a God or a higher being or anything. To me, it's just too far-fetched an idea to believe one person or thing controls everything. I guess it's that your spirituality is a rough-edged rock in an ocean. First, it is nothing really to look at. But as life goes on, it becomes a stone that is smooth and shiny, something to cherish and hold.
I believe it is important to know yourself. If you don't know yourself, how do you live? I believe you should live your life to the fullest. Life gives you a lesson, and that's why I think bad things and good things happen in our lives. I believe we all learn from our mistakes or the events that life gives us. We all have to go through bad things to get through life, because if we keep holding on to the past, how do we move to the future? I believe that something in this universe does take part of our lives and somewhat controls it, but does not control it 24/7 till the day I was born, until the day I die. I do not believe there is just one God. There can be many gods, but you don't have to be forced in to believe in one. I believe there is many out there, but one of them I know is Mother Nature. I do believe Mother Nature does control the world. She does not control humanity, but I do believe Earth is her, pretty much. I believe in the seven principles of Unitarian Universalism. I believe as being a UU, you should accept every religion and do not judge what they believe in. I believe you should respect people's religion and what they have to say on it, but you don't have to believe. You should just try and you shouldn't just try and force someone to believe in what you think is right or what you believe in. You can have an opinion, but you shouldn't force someone to it. And I also believe you should have an open mind and accept others on who they are and who you are. I believe there's no bad place after you die. Most people would call it hell, but I don't think I believe in that. I believe death is supposed to be peaceful. The afterlife should be the best place, actually, after you die. Because when you learn your lessons, you live through life, you should redo it with your afterlife. So I believe that life, that hell is just a thing to scare people so they would just do good things in life. I do believe in spirits and ghosts or souls or whatever you want to call them. I believe when you die, your spirit comes out of you and goes wherever you want to go. So that is why we experience things that are paranormal or whatever you want to call it. I believe there are a good place when you die, which would be called heaven if you really want to call it that. I believe you can call it. I believe you can call it wherever you have to the option to go there when you die. You can go wherever you want to because it's your life and you do whatever you want with it. You can make this heaven whatever you want to do, and because it's your afterlife, you get to choose how you want it to be.
Will the ushers please come forward? As we prepare to receive our offering, if you are a guest with us this morning, we invite you to take a candle from the basket as a gift to you. This morning, we gather in appreciation of life's transitions and of having a community in which we journey together. The offering will now gratefully be collected.
Well, I've been trying something lately since my mother told me, baby, you've got something special deep inside. So I've been looking everywhere, I dance, I write, I sing, I swear I'm tearing down my tendency to hide. 'Cause she says, go your own way to shine, go your own way. Let your heart build a fire, don't be afraid. Go out on your own. Then come back with a poem and add your light to mine. And together we'll shine. The words I used to start this song, I tell myself there's something wrong with everything I put down on the page. But then my heart, it starts to sing. The words are coming fast, they're bringing on such passion, pleasure, joy, and pain. And they say, go your own way to shine, go your own way. Let your heart build a fire, don't be afraid. Go out on your own, and then come back with a poem and add your light to mine. Together we'll shine. Even though it's gonna be hard, even though you might get scared, don't walk away from what you're feeling. Gotta stay with the pen on the page till the words come face to face with your soul, so you can free them. I've heard that there's a place I've never been before. They say it's like a distant shore past everything I've ever known, where all the songs and poems are stored beneath the music and the words, where every kind of beauty finds its form. It's where you go your own way to shine, go your own way. Let your heart build a fire, don't be afraid. You go out on your own, and then come back with a poem and add your light to mine. And together we'll shine, together we'll shine, together we'll shine.
To live in this world, you must be able to do three things: to love what is mortal, to hold it against your bones, knowing your own life depends on it, and then, when the time comes to let it go, to let it go. Go now in peace.